Some of the great kingdom passages and concepts are covered in posts at fourthstream.com. We think you're going to like it.
Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help you in your quest to a satisfied mind.
Let's start over.
Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help you in your quest to a satisfied mind. Today, Dave and I are talking about the incredible significance of your everyday story.
You know, I've really enjoyed these particular subjects that we've been talking about, and they kind of they fit in the context of story. And I think we'll continue this because recognizing the power of your story and also the fact that, you know, everybody wants their 5 minutes of fame, their 10 minutes of fame.
I mean, I want 15 minutes.
Our society is just kind of obsessed with it. But the reality is that fame in the eyes of God is totally different than fame in the eyes of man. And what's neat about our stories when we invest in the way God wants us to is that it's eternal. I mean, think about that. Our stories have an eternal quality to them. I try to imagine what it'll be like to be in heaven and to listen to stories and to tell stories. Can you imagine how many stories we have, the ones that are in the Bible? How many are
right?
You know, have not been told yet.
Uh-huh. Well, and we just sat around the lunch table with someone the other day, and she told this just incredible story about her and her husband and the difficulties they've had, but they've been committed to being married.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Oh, it was just wonderful. And with tears in her eyes, she was just like, God told me my husband is with me because he's the only one strong enough to help me with some of the things I need to deal with. And you just think, what a story. And, you know, we were lucky enough, blessed enough to hear that. But think of all the stories. Everyone at the table probably has a story like that, and we just don't get to hear them all.
One of the subjects when it comes to story is the issue of solitude. And in a busy world where there's lots of stuff, I mean, I look at the younger people in my life, in my family, and there are so many distractions, and I'm moving my thumbs right now as I'm saying it, because there are so many...
You realize this is radio.
Well, that's why I said it. And there are so many things that, you know, are vying for our attention mm-hmm. and for our time. So the concept of story and then experiencing solitude, which is, you know, it's basically quietness mm-hmm. and the opportunity to have your mind rest. Well, that's a hard thing to bring into our stories.
So how do you do solitude when you, what do you do?
Well, I think, you know, the outdoors is really good for me. You know, whether I go out during the middle of the day when I'm working and just walk around the building that we work in, where it's just quiet, traffic noise out there. Evenings are great for me, looking at the stars. You know, times when I just sit down and I'm away from my stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've learned to only check my email once every hour because I like to be unencumbered so that I can have a little bit of solitude while I'm working, because mm-hmm. even solitude while you're working is important. So I find a variety of things, but the idea of solitude to me is resting your mind. And what is it that causes you to rest your mind? And I know television doesn't do it for me. Checking my emails doesn't do it for me.
So do you get solitude every day? Do you feel like you do?
No.
Okay.
No, I have to be intentional about it because I would be lying if I said that I pull it off all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do, it's just really good for my soul. I wrote this down, this quote. There are just so many voices competing for my attention. The ones from the inside of me, which, you know, mm-hmm. some people might think I'm crazy, and I know people do, as well as those that are from the outside. Humans were made to be, in part at least, reflective. And we need to allow time for our minds, our emotions, our bodies, and even our spirits to rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the things I find when I don't get that, when I'm interacting too much or when I have too much going on, you know, I question my interactions with people. That's one of the big things that happens to me. I don't know that that's what happens to you. I don't think it is because we're so different. But I know that when I get home or after I've had a couple of days of so many interactions, then all of a sudden I can't sleep well or I'm questioning my interactions. Like, was I misunderstood? Did I hear that wrong? And all of a sudden I can become really actually irrational about something. I mean, that takes a little while, but I mull things over to the point where I become irrational about a conversation I had with someone. It's just, it's just silly, but I can't stop it.
Well, and I think that's why our minds need to rest, mm-hmm. our hearts need to rest, our emotions need to rest. There are a lot of different parts of us, as well as our physical bodies, that need to rest. You know, we spend a lot of time worrying about health and exercise and all those different things to try to keep some balance. Well, there is mental balance in life, too. And it's not just a matter of doing the things that we consider our prerogative to do when we're relaxing. Relaxation isn't necessarily resting your mind and your heart.
No, it's not. And I think, too, when you lose perspective and objectivity, you know, you just get way off course. And often, if you're a parent, you take people with you. You're not just often doing that alone. You get off course. You kind of drag everybody with you, because I know when I get there, you tend to, I think I get tired and irritable. I think you call it crabby. But the point is, when I get there, start to take you. And when I was a mom, when I had kids at home, you know, it takes everybody with you when you start losing perspective.
Oh, I want you to react to the statement about solitude. People make the world go round. There's little doubt about it. However, solitude makes me good for others.
Mm-hmm.
What comes to your mind when I say that?
The first thing that comes to my mind, I think, is that what makes me good for others is that if I get solitude, my mind mulls things over and it sorts things out. And as I sort things out, discernment becomes clearer. I just sort things out. That's the big deal, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I think a solitude for me is having conversations with God that are uncomplicated conversations. Mm-hmm. Me talking to God and sorting out my emotions and waiting to hear from God. And a lot of times he'll guide me through the scriptures. He'll guide me through something that's happening in my heart. And that's what kind of turns things around in my heart and allows me to, I don't know, process all that and be able to go back after whatever it might be.
Yeah, I think the other thing for me in solitude, it helps me sort things out. The other thing it does is helps me to plan. And I know for myself that someone else can tell me how to organize my life and somebody else can tell me how to plan. But when I actually plan it myself, and God's kind of involved in that and directing, when I do it myself like that, I own it. And if I've done it, then I usually am actually more prone to do it because I have made the plan in a way that I know works for me, because I've had time to sift it through, sort it out, and make the plan.
Well, we survey, this term just came to my mind, a pull it together God. I mean, he is able to pull things together when things seem like they're falling apart. And I was reading this in Luke 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. And I looked up that word wilderness, and it means solitary and quiet, desolate and alone. And for some reason, in one of Jesus's biggest tests, particularly early in his public ministry, at the beginning of his public ministry, he went out into the desert, experienced solitude, and was tempted by the devil. I mean, how wild is that?
It is wild. The other thing it kind of reminds me of is wilderness is a unique recipe for me. You know, it was for Jesus, because I'm obviously not going to have that same thing. Your wilderness might look different than mine. And also, I think there are wildernesses for each of us that might be very alone and solitary like his. I think there are other times that you go through a wilderness time that your God is taking you through something, but you still have to go to work. You still have to function with people. So it's kind of a side-by-side wilderness on one hand on this part of your heart that God is working on that needs solitude, but you can't quit your life always for it.
Well, and then this passage is a great picture, because I imagine Jesus being out in the wilderness, and you would think, well, he'd have all the time in the world to be alone and to think about his Father and to think about God. And then, you know, Satan shows up to tempt him. So just because we're experiencing solitude in the wilderness doesn't mean that happens apart from the challenge. And I think for me, solitude is something I can carry with me. It's not just a matter of getting into that quiet place, getting into my closet where I go talk to God, but it's really carrying God with me into my life so that I can experience solitude with him and peace in the midst of whatever storm I might be experiencing.
Interesting that you say that, because as I was kind of getting ready for today, I looked up something on the internet, just a question I had about the brain. And one of the articles that showed up, which I discounted, and it was for this reason that I discounted it. It was talking about solitude, but it was all selfish. It was for selfish reasons.
Right.
You should plan a solitary or a solitude because you can do the things that you want to do.
And me time.
It was every single thing was like that. And I thought, no, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking more for, because I have learned a lot about the brain in another part of my life.
You're a brain trainer.
I was a brain trainer. And so your brain needs actual time to rest and to be quiet. And a big need that it has is to sleep. And our best sleep obviously happens when we have a quieted mind. The reason your brain needs sleep is because every memory you had today, anything new you learned, just the events of the day, your brain has to sort through all that stuff and put it somewhere. It has to organize it, and that's what gives you a good rest. And without some solitude, that doesn't happen. And all of that makes us not the person we want to be the next morning.
One of my, as I've thought through the whole idea of solitude in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the fight, in the midst of the challenge, you know, to rest my mind and my heart is out of Psalm 46 in verse 10. Cease striving, or be still, and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And that says several things to me, not the least of which is that, you know, nothing really is escaping God's attention, escaping his control. He knows what's going on. So even in the midst of our challenges, he's working through us in order to honor his name through us so we can be still mm-hmm. and know that he's God.
So maybe this is putting you on the spot, but when it says cease striving and you feel like you're being chased by life.
Yes.
How do you do that? I mean, I read that verse and it sounds so peaceful, but when I feel like I'm being chased by life, then I get in the midst of that. I don't know how to do it.
Well, I think that's the challenge is to be still. So what does it mean to be still? Well, it's translated also cease striving. So I have figured out mechanisms to identify when I'm striving and go, this isn't going to get me anywhere. So I need to make my connection with God so that he can help me to know that he's God, and which, you know, implies a lot of things. He's in control. He will give me wisdom. He will carry me through. He will guide me. And that's what happens for me. And when I make that kind of connection, which isn't easy to do, but when I find myself making that connection, then things come more into perspective.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you answering that actually helped me realize probably how I do it in my life, because I was asking myself as you were reading that, I'm not sure how I do this, because I have to identify for myself when I'm striving, and that looks different in me than it does in you. I don't know if it's a male female or if it just is that way for a person to person thing. And that's one thing I had to learn was how to ask God, when am I striving? What does that look like? I need God to tell me sometimes when I'm striving. And I have to, in the midst of it, say, is this what it looks like in my life?
So think about it. Think about solitude in relationship to your story. You know, you can't have solitude all the time, but you can have it enough mm-hmm. to help you to be still and know that he's God. Hey, fourthstream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to fourthstream.com and click on that radio button.
It's your life. Engage.
And thanks for listening today.
Insights each week at fourthstream.com as you pursue your own kingdom training vision.